first scripture lesson today is from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God."
Before reading our second scripture reading, I do have one question for Jeff Davis. I just like to know, Jeff, how do I get my name in that hat? I sure would like to have a Donald Duck. John 14, beginning at verse 15 through 24, we read the first portion of John 14 last week, and I just want to remind us of the context of this reading. The context of this reading is the last night that Jesus has with his disciples before he will be crucified the next day. It's on the night that we have come to know as the Last Supper, Maundy Thursday, the night of the washing of feet. And in the Gospel of John, we have a lengthy telling of that, a much more elaborate telling of that story. As a matter of fact, it goes from chapters 13 all the way through 17. And there's a great deal of teaching and discourse between Jesus and the disciples. So this is the context of our reading this morning. And Jesus says to his disciples, as we just heard in that lovely anthem, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God." To open or not to open, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler to open wide our doors and welcome with abandon the quarantined weary, those longing to meet, greet, sing, pass the peace, and share coffee and sweets in familiar confines, and in doing so, abandon the gift given to rediscover the true soul of the church, the gift of solitude, reflection, communion in new ways. Or do we embrace a newfound freedom of spirit, inviting us into the sanctuaries of creation and perchance discover a divine that breathes the breath of life and circulates in the veins of all that exists? Do we go to church, or are we the church? Is church confined to place and time, or is it life lived in loving concert with an eternal presence? Ah, there's the rub. With gratitude and apologies to William Shakespeare, in our two readings this morning, we encounter some very powerful words for us in these days of epidemic quarantine and struggling to open, reopen, socialize, not socialize. First, in this reading from Acts, Paul finds himself in Athens, and he finds himself at this temple. And at the temple, there is a statue to an unknown God. And Paul makes the observation to these Athenians. He says, "Ah, I see, you are a religious people." Now, anybody with eyes and ears can ride through the countryside, through the towns, through the villages, through the cities of our country, and it won't be long before they would say, "Ah, I see, you are a religious people." As churches, as steeples, as synagogues, as mosques dot the land. But Paul says, "But I also see you have this statue to an unknown God." Let me tell you about this unknown God. And in doing so, Paul basically identifies several different things about this being a religious people. First of all, he tells us that religion is not God. Religion is the institution. Religion is the place. Religion is the liturgy. Religion is the means by which we attempt to encounter God. Religion is something that we have invented. We have invented because we are trying to fill this need for something that is unknown to us, just like the unknown God. And in doing so, what we've done is we've actually confined God. We have invented religions of all sorts in order to understand the divine. And in doing so, we have gradually limited the divine to our religion. And Paul is trying to tell these Athenians, this unknown God you have, this religion that you have, is not all there is. Religion controls God. But God is truly unknown until we realize that God is everything. Because Paul tells these Athenians, he says that I have come to tell you about this God who made the world and everything in it, who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is served by human hands. In this God we live and move and have our being. Which, by the way, is Paul quoting one of the Athenians' own poets. So Paul takes this opportunity in this shrine, in this temple, to remind the Athenians that God is everywhere, everything. Now let's go over to this passage in the Gospel of John. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he tells them, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Very simple. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But first, we have to be reminded, what are God's commandments? What are Jesus' commandments? And in looking at the commandments that Jesus is talking about, I think it's wise for us to look at Jesus' interpretation of the commandments. And we must remember earlier in the gospel story, when Jesus encounters a young man who says, I keep the law, I keep the commandments. Tell me, which one is most important? And Jesus says the summary of the law, which is a summary that also comes out of the Old Testament itself. Jesus says the summary of the law is to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Love God with your whole being, and equally as important, even to the point of being the same thing, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And that young man walks away from that congregation, and we don't ever know if he really gets that message. To love your neighbor. Because Jesus tells him a parable that basically says, everybody is your neighbor. But here on this final night, Jesus says something that's quite curious. He says, I am sending an advocate, the Spirit of Truth. We have come to call this the Holy Spirit in the church. Jesus calls it the advocate. The Greek word is the paraclete, the advocate, the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth is from God. It is in me, Jesus talking, and in you. God is in me, and I am in you, and we are all one. This is an amazing statement. Jesus tells us that we are the presence of this Spirit of Truth. We are the presence of the divine. And then he says, now that you know this, I'm going to give you a new commandment. I'm telling you to live by my commandments, because he's already given them a new commandment. Back up a chapter, chapter 13. And we read that famous passage where Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Do you notice the difference? The difference between loving one another as we love ourselves and loving one another as I have loved you. He's drawn these two things together, this new commandment, this presence of God within each and every one of us. And he's telling us the love of God is in us. And that is what we share with our neighbor. To love one another as we love ourselves is a hard thing to do many times, because most of us have, well, let's just say, false views of who we really are. And we want people to be just like us, and we'll love them if they act like us. But if we love each other with the love of God that is in us, then we are loving people for who they are. This doesn't mean we have to agree with them. This doesn't mean we tolerate destructive behavior. This doesn't mean that we don't call out people who are unjust, people who are greedy, people who are cruel. Jesus does that. He calls out those things, but he calls them out knowing that there is something better in that person, because there's something better in him, and because we all live in the love of God. Love one another as I have loved you. We are not the objects of God's love. This as I have loved you, in so much as we are God's love. Because God is in Christ. Christ is in us. The advocate pulls us all together. We are one in this amazing love. Creation itself is the expression of love, the expression of God poured forth in this amazing world, this amazing cosmos in which we live. And it's in each and every one of us to recognize in other people and to share. Now, knowing all of this, doesn't our religion seem rather small? Doesn't the fact that our churches hold the presence of God seem rather small? Knowing this, how does it change the way we interact with one another, how we interact with creation? How does it open our eyes to see how we have been reacting and interacting with one another and with creation itself? Does it motivate us to identify injustice, to identify cruelty, to identify greed, to call it out, and call it out in ourselves? How does this inform our decisions about church, about our religion? Is it more important for us to come together in a building so that we can feel good and be more comfortable? Or is it more important for us to care for creation, to care for one another? I know you've seen the meme online that says, "I don't wear a mask to protect me, I wear a mask to protect you. I don't practice social distancing so much to protect me as to protect you." Because the reality is, with this virus, we don't know who has it. We, each and every one of us, could be asymptomatic, walking around with the ability to contaminate someone else. So practicing these things that we know are caring for one another, taking care of creation, loving one another. I know this flies in the face of what a lot of people are saying and doing and believing right now, that we can just go about business as usual, that we can just open the doors of the church wide and say, "Welcome back." But if we closely examine our place in creation, the presence of God within us, and the call for us to love. And remember Jesus' words, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And my commandments are to love God, to love all of creation with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, to love one another as God loves us." And that kind of love will transform who we are and who others are and the creation in which we live. Amen. It really is that simple. They'll know we are Christians by our love. But life tells us that so often the simple things are the most difficult things to live. But the Spirit of truth is in our lives. The Spirit of truth holds us together to remind us who we are. We are the presence of God. We are the presence of love in the world. Let us go from this place with the words of this hymn ringing in our ears. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen.